40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's give a sunny side of sports shout out to Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo. He's a southpaw fighter from Windhoek, Namibia. Scores a big victory in Moscow. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Sonny, Julius Ndongo from Windhoek, Namibia, first fight out of Africa, 21-0 with only 11 knockouts. He was programmed to go in there and lose. 40 seconds, spectacular one-punch knockout, and the champion was flat on his back. Edward Troyanovsky in front of his people in Moscow. That was a crushing 40-second knockout, and this will go down as one of the best knockouts for 2016, and a big upset. He picks up the IBF Junior Welterweight title. Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo from Namibia, that's an African star we must look out for in 2017.
Big victory for the Blue Machine. I understand it was the first loss for the Russian, Nnamdi?
This will go down as one of the big upsets of 2016. There was no reason for the champion to be flat on his back in his own backyard. You know, it's like knocking out a man in his living room in front of his family. You know, the Russian promoters, they have liquid cash right now. They paid a lot of money to the African just for him to come and lose. And he didn't follow the script and just a good southpaw. The champion walked into the left hook and 40 seconds, bang, he was out on his back and the crowd was shocked.
Nnamdi, I know South Africa has produced some very quality fighters. What about Namibia? How would you rate that country?
They have a very good boxing program in Namibia. Don't forget, some even world champions came out of Namibia. So in Windhoek right there, they have good thing going. And I'm sure their sponsorship program is very good. Because in the other parts of Africa where boxing is suffering, just no sponsors. They only rely, the promoters rely on Live Gate. And when you rely on Live Gate in Africa, you know what happens between the policemen and the soldiers. They take their own money into their pocket and the promoters left cold.
Also in Moscow, Nnamdi, the Ghanaian warrior Richard Comey goes up against another Russian fighter, Denis Shafikov. This one played out pretty much as you predicted. I got to give you some props, Nnamdi, because I remember you telling our VOA listeners that Comey had to knock this guy out in order to get a victory. Controversy with the decision. Your thoughts?
Sonny, this is a second consecutive loss for Richard Comey. And now with his 12th round split decision. In the first place, there was no need for Richard Comey to go to Moscow in front of only 100 people in a gymnasium. Richard Comey's management and promoter, they really let down Richard Comey. There was really no need for Richard Comey to go in after giving us the best, one of the best fights of 2016 against Robert Easter. That fight will go down as good action fight, and then you take your man to Moscow with no insurance. Looking at the fight, Richard Comey was not prepared at all. Richard Comey should have been allowed to take two easy fights and come back because the last fight was on TV. And you take this man to a gymnasium in front of 100 people. What do you expect? The question becomes, did you really do any scouting report before this fight? The job of the manager and the promoter is to look out for the fighter. They fail the fighter. Sonny, I don't like calling out people on this show. I don't like putting people on the blast. This so-called streetwise management, needs to go. Richard Comey needs to find a new team, new promoter, new boxing trainer, new manager, because they failed this fighter. He's at the age right now, he's as an African, he's 29. He has just a window of 2 to 3 years to make money. And with this kind of blunders and fumble, he can't make money. I mean, there was no TV in Russia, in Moscow for this fight, in front of 100 people in a gymnasium. This is really sad. A young fighter fighting this hard, no money. I mean, management, come on, man. Streetwise promotion or streetwide management and European promoter. Bro, you need to check into the USA, bro.
So you're saying he needs a whole new management team.
A new team, because if they had done their scouting report, they should have turned down that fight and said, no, let's take two tune-up fights and then get him ready for a bigger fight in 2017. IBF is not the only belt available. We have WBC, we have WBA, we have WBO. So elimination or no elimination, he had no business going to Moscow. So the team failed him.
Namdi, in terms of management teams, Floyd Mayweather now guiding the career of the Ugandan lion, Sharif Bogere. He was recently in action. Talk about that.
Sonny, the lion had the best fight since his comeback, really, because Sharif right now is with Floyd Mayweather. And we, when you're with Floyd Mayweather, you know, you don't go wrong, because nobody will steal the fight from you. Because you know who's paying the judges and the referee to work. So second round, he had this guy down, Fernando Garcia, and then came back in the fifth round, just finished him completely. Dominated the fight, no contest. It was a great fight. The best from the lion. The homeboy from Kampala is doing his thing, and I believe 2017, with Floyd Mayweather behind him, he will strike for the title, and he will take the belt back to Kampala.
Let's stick with the African fighters, Namdi. We'll move up in weight to the heavyweights. Izo Ugono.
Oh, Sonny, Izo Ugono, born and raised in Poland by Nigerian parents, Sonny. 6'5". 84-inch reach, rock solid, lying on his feet, undefeated, 17-0 with 14 KOs, Sonny. This is a big boy that's ready to rumble.
So we should watch out for him in 2017, Namdi?
Oh, Sonny, he has just signed with Al Heyman, Premier Boxing Championship. His first fight will be in March, Las Vegas, 2017. He will move down to Las Vegas in January. So we're about to see some really, really, really big rumble from homeboy from Poland, who will do it for us in the heavyweight division.
Namdi, another big boy in the heavyweight division, Samuel Peter. The news not so good about him. Fill us in on what's going on with Samuel Peter.
Sonny, that was really sad to see homeboy from Nigeria coming for a fight at 270 pounds, Sonny.
Mm.
Shows right there, he trained at the buffet line. 270 pounds for a heavyweight. That was before the fight. So fight night, you throw in another, the way the heavyweights eat, you can throw him, by the time he consumes steaks and liquid, he'll be like 280 pounds, Sonny. He fought Kubrat Pulev from Bulgaria. It was a target practice. Slow, out of shape. He refused to come out in the fourth round, which means he had to sit on the chair and then save himself. Homeboy's in a position to get hurt, and somebody needs to tell him to pack it in and leave boxing alone.
Namdi, let's stick with the heavyweights. Saturday night in Manchester, England, the IBF heavyweight belt will be at stake. The holder, Anthony Joshua, goes up against Eric Molina. How's this one shaping up?
The venue already sold out in Manchester. It's a good fight. Eric Molina is not a dead man. He will come and fight. He can punch. He has a puncher's chance. Mexican-American, and we know they come to fight. It is a big step up for Anthony Joshua. This is not your Dominic Brazil or Charles Martin. Eric Molina gave Deontay Wilder a very, very good fight until Deontay stopped him.
Did Deontay Wilder fight? I don't know if Anthony knows, I fought five rounds with a busted ankle. So everything you saw in that fight was done on one ankle. So, you know, that's the type of fight that I'm coming in to give this young man here. I'm going to fight with everything that I got. If I'm hurt, if I'm conscious, I'm coming to fight. And I know that I could win the fight with one punch at any given moment. That's a heavyweight game. That's why we're all here. That's why you guys are so excited about this young man, because it's the heavyweight division, and anything could happen in any second.
But he has not fought since April of 2015, so a little bit of ring rust. But he can punch. Anthony Joshua really needs to take him out cold, really. I mean, let's step right in front of him, because you don't need to look for him. He'll be right there. Just drop the right hand on him, and then it's over, because now we're talking about looking forward to the big, big one. And when you do that in boxing, this is not wrestling. This is sweet science. When you look ahead, you may make a big mistake and leave your chin wide open with a puncher, and then be a huge upset and everybody be really shocked. We've seen that in boxing. So talking about Klitschko in April, Wembley and all this stuff, it's like a disrespect to Eric Molina. And Eric Molina, being a Mexican, he will fight. Even when he's on the floor, he will get up and fight. We've seen that before. So homeboy from Niger should take it a little, make sure his defense is solid, tight, and block all shots, because this Mexican can uproot things, you know.
Namdi, if Anthony Joshua can get past Eric Molina, I know we've talked about the possibility of Joshua Klitschko. What about Joshua Deontay Wilder in 2017?
Oh, those are big fights, because the heavyweight division is, I would say 2017 is a big year for the heavyweight division. You have Joshua Molina Saturday. Then now we're talking about Joshua Klitschko, Wembley Arena, April 29th. And right after that, you may even see Joshua against David Haye, or Joshua against Tyson Fury, or Deontay Wilder. So it's about to happen. And then you throw in the homeboy from Poland, Izu. Man, the big boys, they rumble. And when they rumble, we like to see it, because one punch can take you out cold, bro. It's a heavyweight rumble, man. We love it.
Namdi, earlier you talked about the controversy surrounding Komi Shafikov in Moscow. Also controversy recently involving the Andre Ward-Sergey Kovalev light heavyweight title fight. We didn't really talk about this one. Kovalev knocked down Ward early in the fight, and many people thought Kovalev was the winner, but Ward ended up winning. Your thoughts?
I predicted a boring fight before this fight happened, and this is exactly what happened. What really surprised me, son, here is the champion, Sergey Kovalev, and able to cut off the ring. I mean, you undefeated, the supreme light heavyweight champion, and just following Andre Ward. Just after that one knockdown, then Andre Ward got up and out-hustled him, you know. Don't forget now, who is behind Andre Ward? The rap mogul, Jay-Z. That should give you an answer. So people talk about rematch. Rematch will be very easy. Andre Ward will beat Kovalev very, very easy, because Andre Ward was able to adjust. I mean, give the man props for getting off the canvas in the second round and winning the fight. He did not go into the shell or hold or something, but it was a boring fight. I don't really want to see a rematch. We've seen the pay-per-view numbers. So, 300,000 people.
So the pay-per-view numbers don't support a rematch?
No, because, you know, the fight fans wants to see a real fight. Two guys are really mixing it up. Two guys dropping bombs, blood, broken nose, broken jaw. We don't get it when the guy is running, the other guy is holding and tying up, the referee is breaking it up. At the end of it, you get tired of watching. It becomes a boring fight. You know, these two guys style, it will make you go to sleep. So why charge us to see this fight again? Put it on a free HBO.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Galala! Great show, bro.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington. Now let's go to Yokohama, where the Japanese side Kashima Antlers rallied from a goal down Thursday to beat Auckland City of New Zealand 2-1 in the opening match of the FIFA Club World Cup football tournament. Kim Dae-wook headed home a free kick to open the scoring in the 50th minute, but the Antlers equalized on a goal by Shuhei Akasaki in the 67th minute. And when the match seemed headed to extra time, Kashima's Mu Kanazaki headed home the game-winning goal from close range. The Antlers now travel to Osaka for a quarterfinal match Sunday against African club champion Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. In another quarterfinal match on Sunday in Osaka, Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors of South Korea will play Club America of Mexico. South American champion Atletico Nacional of Colombia and European champion Real Madrid of Spain receive byes to the semifinals, which will be played on December 14th in Osaka and December 15th in Yokohama. The final is December 18th in Yokohama. Meanwhile, the referees in Japan are getting help from video replays during the FIFA Club World Cup. Dutch football great Marco van Basten, who is now FIFA's chief officer for technical development, says the tournament represents a big step forward in terms of testing the video technology. The trial involves video assistant referees being given access to all broadcast feeds inside a video operations room. These video assistant referees can then provide information to referees on the field of play in order to correct clear mistakes in what's described as match-changing situations. And speaking of football changes, in Singapore Thursday, FIFA President Gianni Infantino defended his proposal for a 48-team World Cup beginning in 2026.
All these formats can be played in the same number of days as currently, 32 days, with the same number of stadiums than currently, 12 stadiums, and that the two teams qualifying for the final of the tournament will play 7 games. This means that there is no additional burden for the players, because if you play the final, you play 7 games in 32 days, as exactly as it is the case now. So there is no downside for the player, there is no downside for the clubs because the calendar is not impacted, but there is a big upside for football because it allows 8 or 16 more teams and more countries and more regions in the world to participate in the top competition of the world, which is the World Cup.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino calling again for a 48-team World Cup, up from the current 32 teams, beginning in 2026. And Infantino was speaking Thursday in Singapore. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, let's stick in the world of football and look at a couple stories that deal with great gestures. And starting with that world of football, looking at Barcelona, they've invited Chapecoense to come play a friendly match against them next year. Of course, we've been talking about the horrible plane crash. Most of the team was killed as Chapecoense prepared to play in that tournament final. Well, Barca has announced that they will play them in the for the Joan Gamper Trophy, which is an annual match between Barca and an invited team for this trophy. So Chapecoense will be the invited team, and they will get a chance to play them, but also it'll help to raise money for the club. And they released a statement said, along with the invitation to Chapecoense for the 2017 Joan Gamper Trophy, Barcelona would like to collaborate on the institutional and sporting reconstruction of the club and help to recover the competitive level that it had. So not just a great goodwill gesture, but a commitment to try to help them rebuild. One that's getting noticed by fans, a lot of people calling it a great gesture, a sign of deep respect, and an amazing tribute, not just hosting them for this one match, but committing to help them in the months and years to come.
Very nice gesture indeed, Andrew. And with players such as Lionel Messi and Neymar and Luis Suarez, I'll go out on the limb. I'm going to guess that match will be sold out, and they're going to raise a lot of money.
Absolutely. It's going to attract a lot of attention around the world among football fans, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not just the money that comes in from the ticket sales, if it really sparks some donations around the world to Chapecoense as they continue that rebuilding process.
And just a reminder for our VOA listeners, earlier in the show I mentioned Atletico Nacional getting a bye to the semifinals of the FIFA Club World Cup. They were the team that was scheduled to play Chapecoense in the two-leg final of that South American tournament, the Copa Sudamericana. They, in another goodwill gesture, Andrew, they gave the trophy, or asked that the trophy be given to Chapecoense, and indeed it was.
That's right.
Earlier this week.
That's right. It's something that has really brought the sports world together, for sure.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, we go from football to American football, and specifically Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is a former wide receiver who played most of his career, about 11 years, with the Houston Texans, a seven-time Pro Bowler, and he's making headlines because of a thing he's done for the past 9 years or so, but it's getting attention this year because of one particular photo. What he does is he goes to a local toy store, and he brings a bunch of children from the Houston area who are in Child Protective Services. So these are children who have faced abuse or hardship, who have been taken out of maybe abusive homes. And he gives them 80 seconds. He wore number 80 when he was with the Houston Texans. He gives them 80 seconds to grab everything they can in the store, whatever they want from the toy store, and he pays for it all.
Wow.
And this year when he did this, he spent nearly $20,000 to treat these kids to some toys for the holidays. And the picture that's making the rounds is he's holding up the receipts and just stretches. It's the whole, he's got to be, you know, 6 foot five or 6 foot six. It stretches just about from his shoulder height to the floor. But a great goodwill gesture for these kids who unfortunately have faced some hardships, getting to have a nice holiday thanks to Andre Johnson. So seeing people saying, Andre Santa Claus Johnson strikes again 9 years in a row. He's a good man. He's calling him a good man, and hashtag Santa wears a helmet, which I liked quite a lot.
I like that.
But a really nice goodwill gesture, and something that he's done for so many years hasn't been covered in the press. He doesn't do it for the press attention. He does it because it's the community that he loves. He wants to help these kids have a good Christmas, a good holiday season. Just so happened that this photo made the rounds on social media, but a really nice gesture in the holiday season.
Nice gesture indeed. Andrew, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, last week here in the U.S., there was a tragedy in Oakland, California. There was a warehouse that was being used as an art space and a dance hall, and a fire started in the warehouse, and 36 people were killed in that fire. And now the Golden State Warriors, who play in Oakland, are reaching out, and they're offering their support. Now, the team, the Warriors organization, already donated $50,000 to the relief effort and to support the families of those victims. Well, in a new video that teammates have released and Steph Curry has publicized on social media, the team of players are coming together, and they're donating an additional $75,000 to help with the recovery with those victims that were killed. And they're not just donating their own money, they're calling on business leaders who live in the Bay Area, people who work there, celebrities, to donate and raise awareness as well. So a lot of people saying that they're standing up, stepping up on and off the court, hashtag role models. And one person said, this town will rebound just like the Warriors. So a lot of praise that they're getting and doing some good in their community to help those people who were unfortunately killed and their families.
Let's give some quick Sunny Side of Sports salutes to Andre Johnson, the Santa Claus, the Golden State Warriors, and Barcelona for that charity match for Chapecoense. No, some nice gestures indeed, Andrew.
For sure. Great gestures in the sporting world.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll hear from you again on Friday.
Looking forward to it.
And that wraps up the December 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrack Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There have been significant accomplishments in promoting religious liberty at the State Department in recent years, said Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, David Saperstein.
Clearly, as you look back on my 2 years here at the State Department, our ability to assist Secretary of State Kerry in his finding that ISIL's activities in Iraq constituted genocide against the Yazidis, Christian Shia communities, and crimes against humanity against the Kakai and the Mandeans and other minority groups was a very important achievement here, and kind of had the impact of grabbing the attention of the international community.
This worldwide attention made it possible to hold two pledging conferences that helped raise over $2.2 million from countries around the world to help these religious minorities return home safely. The United States as a country will continue its commitment to the principle of religious freedom at home and abroad, said Ambassador Saperstein.
I am very optimistic that the robust efforts on behalf of religious freedom that has marked the last several administrations, Republican and Democrat, will remain a hallmark of our foreign policy moving into the future. It really shows the consensus view that religion plays such an influential role in foreign policy issues that we confront and must be addressed more effectively, must engage religious communities around the world on behalf of the values and interests that we promulgate.
Religious liberty is one of America's great contributions to the world, said Ambassador Saperstein. And as an American, I'm extraordinarily proud to see how many countries join us in that vision of the fundamental rights of people to live equally as citizens without regard to their religion. The United States is making a difference in the world on this issue and will continue to do so.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Gambians across Africa and elsewhere rejoice at news that longtime ruler Yahya Jammeh conceded defeat in the country's presidential election. Today, Ghanaians go to the polls to elect a new leader. We take an in-depth look at the elections in the Gambia and Ghana right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.